Lecture topic, recognize your creator.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer of one and all. Wa usalli wa usallim ala nabiyyina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa imamina Muhammad ibn Abdillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa atba'ihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddini wa anna ma'ahum bi mannihi wa fadlihi. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon all his companions, upon the four illustrious imams, upon all the ulama of this ummah who have passed on before us, and upon the ulama who are in our midst. May blessings be upon us all and our offspring and those who will come from amongst our offspring until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah make them from the army who will fight with or on the side of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam against Dajjal. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and friends and dearest sisters, the difficulty we are facing today, in a nutshell, is that we have not truly recognized our own Creator. If one understands who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, automatically this person will not be able to engage in sin. It will become impossible, because he or she will understand not only the greatness of Allah, not only the omnipresence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that he can hear and see everything, but over and above that, the ability Allah has over all of us. So many times in the Quran we hear the qualities of Allah. We hear the ability of Allah. One verse which I also recited today.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ.
Just that verse. Indeed and definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all able. There is nothing that he cannot do. He is all able. He knows. He is in control of the fact that I am breathing right now and you. There are people who can breathe, but there are chemicals in the atmosphere which destroy them, and therefore they die or they develop sicknesses. There are people who have the freshest of air, but they cannot breathe. There are people who are so healthy, but they are suffering a different type of problem. Maybe in their families, maybe a social problem, maybe a problem in their business. And that results in the deterioration of one's health at times. And there are people who have everything when it comes to the dunya, as much wealth as one can imagine, but they don't have health. So all these are signs of Allah, the presence of Allah, the fact that he is in control, not us. If we realize and recognize where we ourselves came from, it will also help us to recognize our Creator. How many of us remember what the atmosphere was like in the wombs of our mothers? Not one. Why? The most sophisticated brain today, the highest intellectual, the most intelligent man or woman will never ever be able to tell you that he or she recollects or remembers what happened upon childbirth, meaning the minute they were born. Nobody, not one. Why? Because there is a Creator who created us from nothing. How old am I or yourselves? Say, for example, a person who's 50 years old. Ask him, where were you 55 years ago? They don't have an answer. No one has an answer. So why is it that this Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has created us in this way? Why? Have you ever asked yourselves the question? Why did Allah not want me to remember what was going on when I was in my own mother's womb. May Allah grant her a long and healthy life. Amen. So, one will realize that one of the reasons, there are many reasons, some reasons we may never know. But one of the reasons is, he wants us to find him. And he wants us to use this intellect to understand that there is a deity. And thereafter, to understand that we need to follow something, somewhere, somehow, in order to achieve salvation. In the same way that there is a beginning, everything that starts has to end. In the same way there is a beginning, there will definitely be an ending. But how many of us have realized that? And if we have, how many of us have actions that are working towards that? This dunya, let's be honest, each one of us struggles and strives and works every day, day in, day out, in order to earn. I am not saying don't go out to earn. No. By all means, go out to earn. You have to. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ To earn a halal sustenance is an obligatory act after the other obligations. The obligation of salah and hajj and zakah and so on. This is one of the translations of the hadith that I've just mentioned. But the point I am making is we all run, and our life and our suffering and our friends and enemies, everything is to do with the dunya generally. Our businesses, whole day. Do you know that the minute you die, everything you ever struggled for in terms of dunya is all left behind. And it will never help you. Nothing. Unless you have prepared for that day of death and thereafter. How do you prepare for it? Very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He does not want to make things difficult for us. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make things easy for us. He doesn't want to make things difficult for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you bring your earning within a certain framework, you are heading in the right direction. And if I take you back to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's life, he was a young boy. What happened to him? He noticed his father doing wrong. He asked himself, can this be right? My own father is carving these idols, selling them, worshipping them. The bigger the idol, the more likelihood they believe there is in your du'as getting answered, na'udhu billah, by that idol. So those who were poor did not have access to God, astaghfirullah, according to them. Because if you were poor, you could not afford an idol. And if you didn't have an idol, who could you call out to? And if you were on a lower economic level, you could afford a small idol. So if you had a small idol, your du'as were less likely to be accepted. A young boy understood that this is nonsense. And he told his father,
يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا
Oh my father, why are you worshipping that which cannot hear, cannot see, and it does not help in any way? It can't help you, it can't help itself. What was he trying to do? He's looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have we ever set ourselves and looked for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when I say that, we obviously do not worship idols. May Allah protect us and our offspring. But in our lives, the way we carry on transgressing, the sin is an idol. A man who's committing zina, that woman he is committing zina with, that's his idol. Why? He gives her preference over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It might not be shirk, But it is such a major sin because we've brought something in front and we've put Allah behind. You did not understand, or should I say, we did not really understand the status of our own Creator. That is the weakness we have. When the Quran is being read, what is the Quran? The Quran is the word of the supreme being that brought me and you and all creation into existence. 2 minutes the imam takes longer in salah, and in some masjids people whinge. They complain. Why? Because they do not know the level, or they have not yet recognized who is Allah, the owner of the book that is being recited in this Quran, in this salah. Who is Allah? So all these signs are weakness of iman. Weakness. We don't really know who is our Creator. Let me take you further. When we were young, we got sick. I'm sure almost everyone has to have got sick at some time. And our parents, the vast majority of us, our parents happened to be Muslim, inshallah. They called out. They made dua. They took us to the doctor. They suffered. Some were lost. They didn't make it to our age. They passed away. Where did they go? Some of us have lost children. Where did they go? Surely that should lead myself and yourselves to understanding that there is something, there is a supreme being in control here. Supreme being whom we need to recognize, we need to understand. And what do we owe the supreme being? Recently I was discussing with a Christian. In 30 minutes, by the will of Allah, this Christian accepted Islam. 30 minutes. Not because of me. Wallahi, not because of me. Because of the Creator. Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says,
إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ.
You will never guide whomsoever you wish. It is Allah who writes guidance for whomsoever He wishes. But what was the argument? The argument was, in fact, I started it. Do you worship Jesus? The answer came, yes. So when you are sick, what do you say? Do you say, Lord Jesus, cure me? Na'udhu billah. The answer came, yes. I said, you are taking a risk, and in Islam, we take no risks. What do you mean I'm taking a risk? Can you guarantee that the owner of cure is Jesus? The answer came, well, yes, I can guarantee. How can you guarantee that Jesus is the owner of cure? The answer came, because people are getting cured. So I said, well, there are people who do not call out to Jesus who are also being cured. Another point. When you render your acts of worship, what do you say? Who do you dedicate your entire life to? Lord Jesus? The answer came, yes. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me when I die. These are the statements that they make. What guarantee do you have that when you die, Lord Jesus is waiting for you? Isa alayhi salam, Jesus may peace be upon him, is a revered Nabi. We are not disrespecting him, but we want to portray the truth. So I said, Muslims do not take risks. What does that mean? Now let me explain. My life is dedicated to the one who created me. I don't want to take a name. Because in Islam, the concept is more important than the name. First, understand who is your creator. If someone says, I'm calling out to Allah, and in his heart, Allah is a stone, astaghfirullah, like what some of the non-Muslims are doing today, they are saying that the Muslims believe in Allah, and na'udhu billah, they are saying Allah is one of the 360 idols. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam destroyed 359, and he left one on the Kaaba, and he called it Allah, astaghfirullah. But I want to tell you, this is what is happening. If you surf the internet, this is what they are trying to prove now. And they will never. So we don't have to worry. But at least we should know it. So, when I dedicate my life, my existence, my worship, I am dedicating my worship to whoever created me. I don't want to talk about the name firstly. Because the concept is more important. If someone is saying Allah, Allah, and they are meaning a stone, then obviously that is totally wrong and unacceptable. And now, let me take you further. One might question, in fact, the question was posed to me. So who did create you? So the answer I gave was, whoever created me, I know he is one. And whoever he is, I dedicate my whole life to him. Have I taken a risk? Obviously, the answer came, no, no risks, nothing. But now, how do you know he is one? There might be different creators for different people or different creatures. The sun might have a god, the moon might have a god. But we need to recognize and understand and sit and think how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sat and thought.
مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِذَا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَٰهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Allah says, Allah does not have a son. Allah has not taken a son. This is obviously in clarification of the statement that some of the non-Muslims or some of the Christians make, saying Allah has a son. Allah does not have a son. And there is no other creator who has created anything with Allah. He doesn't have a partner. Why? Allah explains why. And who discovered this on his own? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah says if there was more than one creator, then each one of them would want to prove that they are better than the other, and they would want to go above the other to say, my creation is better than yours, and there would be disturbance.
لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا.
Allah says if there were gods with Allah, then the earth and the skies would have been corrupted by now. Ibrahim alayhi salam thought to himself, if the sun had a creator and the moon had a creator, why is it that there is no argument between the two? And every single day the sun comes out at daylight, at daytime, and the moon comes out at night. If there were separate creators, at least once the sun would have appeared by night because of an argument. Can you ever have two presidents of one country? Two chiefs of one village? We went to one village in Zimbabwe. After we gave a lecture on the oneness of Allah, the fact that He is one. The concept that Islam is based on monotheism. We believe in one Allah. The chief stood up and accepted Islam. We asked him, what is the point that made you turn to Islam? Do you know what he said? He said, I am one chief here. I can't imagine another one. I can't imagine a trinity of chiefs. I can't. So I understand this concept and it's mine. I accept it and I declare it. Because he understood who is Allah. He understood that there is one creator whom we have to dedicate our entire lives to. So I said, when we are sick, we say, O owner of cure, cure me. Don't we say that? Ya Shafi, Ishfini. When I want sustenance, what do I say? O you who is the owner of sustenance, grant me sustenance. Have I taken a risk? The owner of sustenance has heard me. And I can add an extra statement. The statement that I did add when I was discussing with this particular person, I said, "O you who is the owner of cure, whoever you are, I want you to cure me." Why did I say whoever you are? Because I want them to ask a question, so who are you really talking about? That's why. "O you whom I'm going to return to," and we've got to understand this because we've got to take this message to the non-Muslims. And a lot of the people around us are Christians. Allah is going to ask us. We've got to explain to them. "O you whom I'm going to return to, whoever you are, I want you to have mercy on me when I return to you." Have you taken any risk? No risk involved. Nothing. No one can tell you you are wrong. Now, obviously, naturally, a question came. What is the question? I'm sure a lot of you might have it in your mind. So who is Allah? The Christian is asking, so who is Allah? You are telling me that you don't take names. So who is Allah? So I explained. Allah is a name that He gave to Himself. It means, and I'm going into the meaning of the word, it means the worshipped one, the one who is worshipped. Aliha ya'lahu is a verb in the Arabic language, and al-ma'luhu huwa Allahu. The one who is worshipped is Allah. So that word Allah means the one who is worshipped. And we call Him that because He called Himself that, and He required and he ordered us to call Him that. But He says in the book, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Definitely the worshipped one has many, many names. So use all the names and qualities to call out to Him. When I'm sick, I can either say, "O you who I worship," in other words, "O Allah, cure me." That's one way of saying it. The other way, the better way, is to say, "Ya Shafi, O you who is the owner of cure, cure me." That's a better way. Because Allah requires and requests that we use the beautiful names of Allah. When you want sustenance, one is to say, "Ya Allah, grant me sustenance." The other is to say, "Ya Razzaq, urzuqni." O you who is the owner of sustenance, sustain me. When you want to be protected, one is to say, "Ya Allah, protect me." You will be protected, inshallah, because you know who we are calling out to. But the other is to say, "O owner of security, O protector, protect me." "O you who is the owner of peace and stability, grant me peace, not only externally, but even inside my heart." Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala ta'atik. O worshipped one, O you who is the one in whose hands are the hearts of the people, keep my heart steadfast on this deen. That is the concept of Godhood in Islam. Now there are no risks involved. And the minute you say, "O Muhammad, cure me," may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the highest of creation. The highest of creation. We do not have a doubt in our minds. But are we allowed to say, "O Muhammad, cure me," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Na'udhu billah, we are not. Because as soon as you say that, that risk factor comes into play and Islam loses its value. Because then we become just like the Christians who begin to say, "O Jesus, cure me. O Moses, cure me." We can't say that. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all the Anbiya, alayhimus salatu wassalam. So this is the concept that we need to understand. Now the one who created me, He sent a book. Wallahi, if you study the Quran, and if you speak the Arabic language, and if you learn the Arabic language, and learn the Quran, and look into the Quran, no matter what field you are in, that Quran will prove to you that there is one Allah who is in total control. And you will have the conviction just by reading the Quran. Recognizing the Creator is what turned the biggest enemies of Islam within split seconds to Islam. Let me give you an example. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know this man I'm about to speak about. He was a very big enemy of Islam. Huge enemy of Islam. One day he took his sword and he went out to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know the story. Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu. He walked out and he had an evil intention. He met someone on the road who inquired, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to kill Muhammad." That's it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, just as a side benefit, let me tell you, all the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to clarify their names. You know, people spread rumors. What type of rumors? This man is safih. He is very low, lowly. He is mad.
قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاهَةً.
They cleared immediately. I'm not of that lowly level. I'm not a fool.
قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي ضَلَالَةً.
The other Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, Allah makes mention of them. I am not astray.
وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
I am only a messenger from Allah. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed not to clarify. Allah says, "I will clarify it for you. You leave it." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the only Nabi. Turn the pages of the Quran. You won't find ever where when they told him, "You are a magician." He didn't say, "I'm not a magician." Allah says,
"وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ."
Allah says, "He was not a poet, nor was he a magician." Allah clarifies it in the Quran. He didn't have to say it himself. He was the highest level. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was going to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to kill him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that I'm going to guide this man. I'm going to guide this man.
النَّاسُ مَعَادِنَكَ مَعَادِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ فَخِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقِهُ.
People are like mines of gold and silver. The best of them in ignorance will be the best of them when they accept Islam, if only but they understand. What does this mean? Every one of us, every human being has some gold, more or less, deep inside. But it's a gold that has to be mined. In order to mine gold, what do you need? Lots of effort, lots of money, lots of energy. You need to apply heat. You need to go through different situations. You need to go through different phases. And after lots of effort on this mine, you will come up with a rock which has a strand and everyone smiles. Hey, there's gold in there. And then you take the gold out and you shine it. You get 2 grams of gold. When a man stands on his gold mine, most of it, is it earth or gold? Most of it is earth. But does he say, "Beneath me is earth"? No, he does not refer to that which is lowly. He refers to that which is high. He says, "Beneath me there is gold." That's what he says. I've got gold, you have got gold. The kuffar also have gold, but it's not mined. That is what the hadith is saying. Once you mine the gold, now we are talking. Gold or silver, according to the hadith. People are like mines, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. So imagine, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was a very strong man. The only thing that happened was that strength was converted from being used in kufr into being used in Islam. It was still the same strength. Whenever I see pamphlets, negative newspapers, I make a dua. Ya Allah, in the same way you've used this person to spread fasad on earth, convert it so that this powerful strength can be used to bring the ummah together once again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. The kuffar, today they are using the media to destroy Islam. Inshallah, there will come a time when the media will be used to bring about Islam everywhere. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was diverted to his own sister. Go to your sister. Charity begins at home. He went to his sister and he heard some reading. And he knocked on the door and he banged. And after some time, when he managed to open the door, he went in. These people had hid the parchments that they were reading. And what had happened? He began to beat them until he saw blood. Then he realized, "This is my own blood, my sister. I'm cutting a long story short. He asked to read the papers or the parchments. They refused until and unless these people, or until and unless Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu cleansed. After cleansing, he read. What did he read? Verses which were indicative of the status of Allah. Who is Allah? That's it. Nothing else. And he just read who the creator is. He started crying, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What were these verses? Which means when you and I realize and recognize who our creator is, his true status, we will also become awliyaullah. May Allah make us that. Who was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu? One of the enemies of Islam. He became known as one of the 10 who were granted, who were informed of Jannah before they even passed away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Nabi who gave a statement to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, informing him that you are from amongst the people in Jannah. Whilst he was alive still. We call them al-ashara al-mubashara, the 10 who were granted that news, good news of Jannah. But prior to that, prior to him recognizing his creator, what was he? He was one of the leaders of Quraysh who used to harass and trouble. And he had a very bad intention. Listen to the verses. Taha, that obviously no one knows the meaning besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى.
We have not revealed this Quran to you so that it can be a point of distress against you. Because the kuffar used to say, and I think some Muslims also say it today, Islam has too many rules, too many regulations, too many things to follow. It's put too many blockages on things. Islam has to stop us from dressing this way. Islam stops us from mixing with one another. Intermingling. Islam stops us from drinking. It stops us from this. It is making life difficult for everyone. Don't some Muslims say that who are weak? May Allah save us. That means they haven't recognized their creator. May we not be from amongst them. Some people come to you and they may ask you that, look, I'm a Muslim, but I don't understand why it's not permissible for me to do this and that and that. By whether you understand it or not, it's a rule of Allah. You might understand some and you might not understand some. When a person breaks wind, why does he make wudu? What is the connection of washing these places and he has never washed where he broke wind from? Never. Whether it makes sense to you or not, it has a higher benefit. Your creator has asked you to do that. Aren't there other creatures that we cannot see? The jinn and the ghaib, the unseen. That is protection from everything. Protection from things that you don't even know. And I don't know. So, the kuffar used to say, this Quran has come with so many rules and regulations and it's made life difficult for everyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted verses and Umar ibn al-Khattab read the verse. And he knew in his mind that, yes, I know the rumor and this is being clarified, that we have not revealed the Quran to you, O Muhammad, so that it can be a point of distress for you. So now one might ask, so then what is the Quran? So Allah continues to say,
إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَن يَخْشَى.
The Quran is a reminder. But it's not a reminder for those who don't want to be reminded from it or by it. It's a reminder for those who are conscious and who fear Allah. لِمَن يَخْشَى. If it was a reminder on its own, it would have reminded everyone. The whole dunya would be accepting it. Do you know, the ulama of tasawuf have taught us that when you are in the company of a sheikh, it should help you to rectify your ills and your weaknesses and it should make you a better person. For who? For the one who wants that to happen to him or her. Now some argue and they say, no, that argument is not correct. Because the sahaba were in the company of the greatest of all creatures, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how come there were still kuffar who didn't accept Islam? Because they never looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the correct eyes. Never. They never looked at him with the correct heart. If they recognized his status, then looked at him, they all became known as sahaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But those who did not recognize his status, they can look at him a billion times, they still remained kuffar Quraysh. Which means today also, when we read the Quran, if we do not understand the status of the Quran or the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never realize the status of the Islamic rules and regulations that we are being asked to follow. Never. And if you realize the level of your status, the status of your creator, then automatically anyone who tells you anything Islamic, you will shiver and you will adopt it straight away. Oh, today we were told we shouldn't do this. I'm not going to do it. What happened to the Sahaba? You know, when they, radiallahu anhum, when they used to do anything, the Quran revelation used to come. As soon as the verse was revealed, they used to cry and they used to turn back. And they used to go around saying, do you know I did this? And Allah revealed a verse to say, don't do it. I'm never ever going to do it again. Straight away. Today a man eats interest. You go and tell him, bhai, why are you going to that bank? He says, hey, listen. You can't survive without going there. Finished. That's the statement. That's survival for how many years? 50 years, 40 years, 20 years or less? What about the survival forever? Then, what's going to happen? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us contentment with what we've got. Many a time what happens is we are not content with the car we have. So we go and seek haram loans because we need another car when we did not need it in reality. May Allah save us. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu read the verses.
Tanzeelan mimman khalaqal arda was-samawati al-ula.
This is a revelation. From whom? From the one. Allah didn't say tanzeelan min Allah. No. Allah is describing who it is. I told you it is more important to understand the concept first. Allah is saying it is a revelation from the one who has created the skies and the earth. The Most High, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Allah is confirming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in total control of everything. And He is the Most High, the Highest. What belongs to Him?
لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى.
Amazing. If you understand this itself, you will drop prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His sake. He owns whatever is in the skies, whatever is on earth, whatever is between them, and whatever is even beneath the earth. I want to take one part of that. What is beneath the earth? And I want to shock you a little bit. If I ask you what is beneath the earth, I'll get two types of answers. Those who speak of creatures beneath the earth, maybe ants, maybe mites, maybe worms, whatever, maybe fish in the sea. That's one type of an answer. And the other, those who are speaking of the minerals and the wealth which is under. That's about roughly what we would speak about. If you go under the ground, do you know that anyone who was created, human being, from the time of Adam alayhi salam right up to today, is still under the ground. In another form, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and those whom Allah has prohibited the earth and the mites from eating their bodies, such as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the bodies are fresher than mine and yours. But when it comes to anyone else, their bodies have decomposed, gone into the soil. But where are they? What is happening? Allah knows everything. What is under there? And let me go a step further. Do you know that the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so vast? And I'm saying this only for you to recognize this creator. Allah says,
وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ.
Nothing that treads the earth, no creature of Allah that is on earth, nor in the skies. None of these creatures are just like that. All of them are nations just like you. All of them are just like you. What does that mean? The ulama have several interpretations, but I want to explain it to you simple, very simple. You've got a father, a mother. They've all got fathers and mothers. You've got cousins and aunts and uncles. They've got it. We've got a security system. They've got it. We've got a justice department. They've got it. I don't know if they've got SARS that side. But we've got everything. They've got it. We've got households. They've got it. We've got system of marriage. They've got it. We've got the penal code. They've got it. All. Let me give you two examples. Do you know an ant? An ant. If an ant lies, it is punished. By what? What do you think I would punish someone if they lied? By? We would probably tell him, hey, don't lie next time. The most, a child might get whacked a little bit. That also nowadays, the Maulana will be fired if he does that. By death. The ant is killed. Can I give you an example? Take a biscuit near an anthill. This has been proven, tried and tested. Take a biscuit piece, a nice little biscuit piece near an anthill. When you see one ant walking, put the biscuit down. That ant, if it senses, and at night generally the sense is better than during the daytime of the ants, that ant will go round this biscuit once and twice. Then it will go to the biscuit. Then it will leave the biscuit and go back to the anthill. And it will go in and it will inform the whole army that there is food I found. Let's go. So the whole army after 10 minutes, 15 minutes come out. Safan, safa. There is order. They follow the amir. They don't just walk. You notice ants, they'll come one after the other. But they'll all be in a line as though someone is there guarding with AK-47s. They might be having their own guns. I hope they don't have their own hijackers. So what happens is, they then all walk towards the biscuit. As they are coming towards the biscuit, you pick up that biscuit. What happens? Watch very carefully. They will all go and circle exactly the spot where the biscuit was. Precisely, they'll circle it. After that, they will begin to circle one ant. Which ant? The ant that brought the information is now circled. And the circle becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, until there is chaos, and then they all leave and they go back to the anthill. You will find one dead ant in the center there. Subhanallah! That is the creation of Allah. هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. This is the creation of Allah. So show me what those besides Allah have created. Nothing. Let me give you one other example to explain to you the status of Allah. Who is this creator? If a bee commits, technically speaking, if a bee commits zina, it is also eliminated. Death is the penalty. Why did I say technically? Because zina, if I am to translate it in a technical way, to seek pleasure from that which does not belong to you. That is the translation. To seek haram, pleasure from that which does not belong to you. So, there is a queen in the hive. The queen makes a decision. Imagine, they've got a leader. What is the decision the queen makes? Which flowers are we going to go to extract from? So say, for example, the lavender is chosen. All these bees go to that lavender. And they extract, they come back to the hive and they release or deposit whatever they have brought, and there is a comb of honey. That honey is of one flavor. It can never be two flavors. Go and ask those who extract honey. You have one flavor of honey. It can't be mixed. So if one bee goes to the wrong flower, and it is reported that the bees actually get a feeling of pleasure by going to extract this from the flower, the petals and so on. If it goes to the wrong flower, when it comes back upon entry, it is killed. Go to any hive, you will find a few dead bees at the bottom. Subhanallah. That is the system that we are talking about to recognize Allah. How many of us would have thought that the bees also have a penal code? The bees also have, and I'm only speaking of one or two things here. We can go into every animal, and studies are not yet complete. People are still studying things. Those who are farmers from amongst us, go and ask them how the cows will protect the female cows, meaning the bulls will protect the cows. How? They don't want the neighbors' males to come in to interfere with these females. They'll stand one in that corner, one in that. How? Who told them? These are animals. But insan doesn't want to understand. For this reason, I say, and I started by saying, it is only if we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will then fall straight prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for His sake. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really and truly elevate our status. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, thereafter, what did he hear? The verses continue. وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah says, whether you make apparent or loud or clear your prayer or your statement or anything, or whether you conceal it, to Allah it's equal. Now you have something in your heart. Whether you utter it or you do not, does it make a difference to Allah? Nothing. So Allah is as deep as that, and even deeper. What you don't know about your own self, after one split second, Allah knows it. What's going to happen to me in a second? Allah knows that. Allah is in control of it. And then Allah caps the verses, one of the last verses that were read by Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu, according to the majority of the narrations. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu la ilaha illahu. This is now the worshipped one. And there is none worthy of worship besides him. La ilaha illa huwa. There is none worthy of worship. You see that word ilah comes back again. From aliha ya'lahu, which means to worship. So, la ilaha illa hu. There is none worthy of worship besides this worshipped one who has under his control all these things we just mentioned. Who has created you, whom you are going to return to, who gives you health, who grants you sustenance and so on. Lahul asma'ul husna. He has many, many names. All of them are beautiful. Which means use his names. Understand the names. Why is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna lillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala 99 isma, man ahsaha aw hafidhaha dakhala al-jannah. Allah has 99 names. Whoever memorizes them, understands them, puts them into practice, lives by them, will enter Jannah immediately. Because you've now understood, you've realized who is Allah. It's not just, some of the ulama say you just memorize them. Inshallah, we hope that Allah will accept that. But a lot of the ulama go deeper and say, man ahsaha aw hafidhaha. It actually means to understand them and to memorize them in your heart, understanding the meaning and what it entails thereafter. So what is the conclusion? For example, if Allah is the sustainer and one of his names is Razzaq, one is to know the name, you know it. One is to understand the meaning of it, you understand it. One is to live by what you've understood of the meaning of the name. That is difficult. Which means Razzaq is the sustainer. So now, when a man right next door opens the shop exactly like mine, if I get upset, I have not understood the meaning of the term Razzaq. That is what it means. And I start working my whole life against him, I haven't understood the name. I know it. I've memorized it. I repeat it every day, 99 names. But I haven't lived by it. So that means I haven't recognized Allah. My sustenance, it will not decrease by a single penny if 10 people open their shops right next to me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And I can go on and give you more examples. Al-Wahhab, the one who gives gifts. Generally, Wahhab is used when people don't have children. It's used in the Quran. That is the name to use. The one who gives the gift that no one else can give. The gift of a child and so on. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً. Whenever the term hab is used, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّاب, look in the Quran, generally the dua is regarding children and offspring and wives and so on. You want to marry a woman, someone else marries her. Now you are upset. You did not understand what is the meaning of wahhab. You did not understand the meaning of who, you didn't understand the status of your creator. People say, no, I'll only marry her. If four people say the same, three are let down. Let down by whom? By themselves, by no one else. They imposed punishment on themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us and save us. So tonight, in essence, all I try to do is for myself and yourselves to understand that if you know who is your creator, it will make you a better Muslim. If you know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understand that status. You will not question things. Never. But every time you question things, you must know that there is something wrong in your comprehension of the status of your creator. Like, every time I mention, this is the house of whom? The house of Allah. You should shake when you hear that. House of Allah. Now when someone comes to complain about a fan, do you know what they are doing? I want to show it to you. They're not complaining about the fan. Shaitan has used them to complain about the house of the creator. Shaitan has used them to complain about a window in the house of Allah. How would that same person like it if someone walked into his house and whinged about something that he did in his house? Why do you have this type of a window? Nobody comes to your house to whinge in that manner. But you come to the house of Allah to complain about whose house? My house or yours? Think for a minute. Anyone who complains about the house of Allah has not understood the status of Allah. Why must shaitan use me? Let someone else do that. Whether it's cold or hot, I'll sweat, but I'm in the house of Allah. How can I whinge about the house of Allah? I can sweat until I'm dripping. Inshallah, Allah will grant me safety on the day of Qiyamah. When everybody else will be dripping, Allah will say, you, I made you drip already in my house once. But no, we can't tolerate anything. 5 minutes longer in the house of Allah. What do we come here for? I've given an example previously, and I want to repeat it today. Very, very harsh example. I hope your ears are open, and I hope you will digest it. But I have to give it because I want to show you what is the best place you could ever have. The house of Allah. The worst place you have is known as Baytul Khala, which means the toilet. When it comes to the house of Allah, Shaitan makes sure that we get an irritation if we take long. But when we go to the loo, how many of us have looked at a watch to say, hey, I'm 2 minutes too late here? Let's be honest. That's how Shaitan has operated with us. That shows you the low level of iman. When I was studying in Medina, I had one ustad, originally from India, Abdul Rab Nawabuddin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long and healthy life. One day, I excused myself. I said, I need to go to the loo. And I went out. I came back a little bit later. He told me, come here. Are you a hafiz? I said, yes. He said, Huffaz must not waste time in the toilet. I didn't understand. I looked at him. I said, what you do? Meaning, I didn't obviously respond to him. But now I understand what he said. Qada il haja, which means you are going to fulfill your need. When you need it, go there. As soon as you complete, out. Don't waste time. Where do the shayateen stay? Everyone will tell you, in the toilet. So, the house of shaitan, that is. House of shaitan, you go there and take your time and sit and relax. And you make sure that until you are finished and you're feeling very nice, then you come out. That's what happens. No one ever complains. Nothing. Even if there is a tabur, a long line of people waiting to get in, you won't mind. You make sure you are finished. But come to the house of Allah. What goes wrong when in Taraweeh 5 minutes take, meaning the imam takes 5 minutes longer? He's reading the word of Allah slightly slower. What goes wrong? Shaitan gets into people's blood and tells them to complain about who? About the word of Allah and the house of Allah and the person who's reading the word of Allah in the house of Allah. Can there be a bigger criminal than that? May Allah save us. And believe me, I'm not saying it. I know every single masjid has the problem. I'm not saying it to pick on anyone in particular, but I'm putting forward deen here. The topic today is to recognize your creator. The minute you recognize him, believe me, what did our akabirin used to do? I don't want to go far away to the sahaba. Even now, take a look at our akabirin. When they stand in salah, Maulana Siddiq Bandwi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannah. I have read Salatu Taraweeh behind him, where he's completed in 3 days. And how, what an old man, and he's standing and reading, and he's like a tree, doesn't even move. Old man, not even moving. I'm talking of now, in 1992. Subhanallah. These are the people we need to learn from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can recognize him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a barrier between us and shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who love him. Let each one of us, inshallah, try and think of our own creator. Remember, a day will come when we are going to go. Think of where you are going to go. The one you are going to return to, we need his mercy. And he is Allah. Generally, when we are speaking to the non-Muslims, we will probably tell them, look, whoever we are returning to, that's who we worship. And if they ask you, who is Allah and what is the meaning of Allah, you need to explain that Allah is the worshipped one. And what is more important is the fact or the concept. Who is Allah? That is what is more important. And for all of us, you know, if you speak to the ulama of tasawuf, they will tell you, al-arif billah, those who know Allah. They are on the highest level. What are the levels? You have Islam first. Islam, all actions are known as Islam because you can see them. Salah, I can see someone reading it. The five pillars of Islam, I can see someone reading the kalima. I can see someone performing salah. I can see someone giving zakah. I can see someone abstaining from food. I can see someone going for hajj. These are actions, Islam, the pillars of Islam. What about the pillars of Iman? Iman, I cannot see. So Iman, if someone believes in the kalima, I don't know. If someone believes in the Anbiya, I don't know. If someone believes in the books, I don't know. That belief is in his heart. If someone believes in the last day, and if someone believes in good and bad fate coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if someone believes in the malaika, I don't know. They know. That's the second darja. What's the third darja? Ihsan. What is Ihsan? When you are worshipping Allah as though you can see him, and if you cannot do that, then it's as though you should understand that he is watching you. That's a higher level, because now you are recognizing him. You know he can see me right now, right here. The omnipresence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is a level higher than Ihsan? To be totally content with whatever Allah has decided for you. Ar-ridha bil qada. You must be happy with whatever Allah has decided for you. This does not mean that sit back and relax and don't do anything and say, right, I'm opening my mouth. And if Allah has decided Charles will come, it'll come. That is wrong. But you go out, you strive, you fulfill your role, then what type of food you get, Allah knows best. How much you will get, Allah knows best. Some people make effort for 5 hours, they earn 1,000 rands. In the same 5 hours, another man will earn 5,000 rands. In the same 5 hours, one man will earn 100,000 rands. And there might be another man, in 1 minute he'll earn 100,000 rands in one move. That's from Allah. That is his taqseem. He is the one who's distributed all this. So we need to be content with what we have. And I want to end on one note, because it's very important. In marriage, what is happening today on the globe, in many cases, the youngsters, they get sick and tired of their spouse, male and female. After 1 year, they say, I'm fed up. They're not content. Why? They don't even know why they married. A lot of people think we married so that we can be happy and have a ball of a time, and we can go to Hawaii and have a nice honeymoon. So if that was your concept, the minute the honeymoon is over, your marriage is also over. Marriage is sacrifice. Sacrifice. And you have to be content with what Allah has decided for you. Yes, if there's grave oppression, then you're allowed to seek assistance. But minor issues, everyone has minor issues. The winner is the one who can solve them. So when we go home tonight, inshallah, let us smile at our spouses. Yes, make life easy. We need to appreciate one another. We need to say statements of appreciation. Why? It is Allah who chose this spouse of yours. And children may come to the dunya who will worship Allah through the spouse of yours. It's a very big ibadah. It's not something empty. Very big ibadah. So if you recognize Allah, you will realize that Allah uses parents as a means of bringing back, bringing into life other worshippers. Other worshippers. All of us, we are children. We are children of whom? Of parents. And inshallah, in almost all cases, our parents were married. May Allah protect others. So that is a very big act of worship. Every act of worship you are fulfilling, your parents get the reward. So for that reason, it's important to solidify the bond within the house. If you solidify the bond in the house, inshallah, there will be happiness in the house. And thereafter, there will be happiness in the neighborhood. And there will be happiness in the city. And there will be happiness in the country. And the, inshallah, the entire ummah will be uplifted to a great degree. But if we don't start smiling at our own spouses, telling them words of appreciation, and overlooking their weaknesses, then there will be disaster upon disaster. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really and truly uplift us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. I am but a brother of yours. And I request also that you make dua for myself as well. And for the rest of the bleeding ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever you look, the people are suffering. People are suffering because of many reasons. But to me, in our part of the world, why we are suffering when we don't have occupation, when we don't have bombs raining on our heads, when we don't have all the adversities that the others are facing, we've got electricity, water, food, everything is there. The rand drops by this much, and we start crying foul. Ask me in Zimbabwe, the dollar doesn't exist anymore. It crashes by the hundreds of thousands in a week. Believe me. Then, what happens? We've got to survive. If you are happy with what Allah has decided for you, you'll have no complaints. If you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll understand that those people are the ones who are suffering truly. Our brothers and sisters in Iraq and in Palestine and in other countries of the world, innocent people are just being murdered and butchered on a daily basis. For what reason? Nothing. So, do we have any problems? Do you know why we think we do? Because we haven't recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we recognize Him, then inshallah, everything will be made easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make easy for us the difficulties. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.